Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Get expert advice from your friendly healthcare team at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
It's hard to believe, but the PlayStation has turned 30. So this was Sony's first foray into gaming when it launched in 1994. And it became, as you will remember if you're of an age, a cultural sensation. Of course, it gave the world legendary games like Tomb Raider and The Last of Us. So to mark the occasion, I'm joined now by writer and games journalist Sarah Maria Griffin. Hi, Sarah.
Hi,
welcome
Brendan.
Back.
How Thanks are you? A million for having me.
So, Sarah, maybe to remind us first, what was the gaming landscape in 1994 and why did Sony want to get in on it?
So, you have to remember back in 1994, we're not talking about a world of big graphics and big splashy cinematic titles. In the early 90s, video games were 2D, simple, colourful, pixelated things. Super Mario Brothers, all the way back to things like Pac-Man, Space Invaders. It was a simpler time, a more straightforward landscape. Yeah. So when Sony arrived in on the landscape, things became very different very quickly. How they started making consoles was they were initially, this is kind of gossipy, in on a bargain with Nintendo to develop a CD drive for their console at the time, which was the Super Nintendo system. But that deal fell through. So Sony said, right, well, if you don't want to work with us, we'll build our own console. This is a big untapped market. And from that fallout came the PlayStation.
And what kind of consoles did people have at that stage? It was Nintendo versus Sega was the big kind of thing then, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, I mean, back the first home consoles were things like the Atari, the Commodore 64, relatively simple, very straightforward, Pong and Space Invaders, very classic at this point, but very simple. But your average home console would have been a Nintendo, a Super Nintendo, a Sega Genesis, maybe a Sega Saturn. Like, that was really all that was kind of out there. So when the PlayStation arrived, things changed significantly, especially because PlayStation's price point was much lower than the Sega's price point. It was a much cheaper object, a much more approachable object, so they swept into the market and appeared in homes everywhere very quickly.
Okay, so did they actually create a whole new market for gaming in a way?
They did, yeah. They completely changed everything. The way that games, the diversity of different kinds of games that appeared on the PlayStation was what was kind of notable. You had obviously children's games like Crash Bandicoot, Spyro the Dragon, very cutesy, kind of off the back of that very colourful kind of Nintendo playful sort of approach that had been there. But there were also more sophisticated adult games or adult looking games, scarier games like Silent Hill or like Resident Evil, adventure games like Tomb Raider, Tony Hawk's Pro Skater, a huge games. There were sports games. There were so many different approaches that they took to this landscape that there was something for everybody.
So did gaming become maybe slightly more an adult thing then?
At that point, they were starting to market out of children's and into teenagers and then towards adults. Yeah, their approach in advertising, which at this point is kind of legendary because it was very subversive, the kind of print ads that they ran and the kind of TV ads the PlayStation 2 ran were very shocking at the time. So they took an approach of finding a new market. Yeah, so older people, because the games didn't look like they were just for children anymore. They looked as close to reality as you can imagine in 1994 or 1995, which nowadays looks quite dated and quite simple, but at the time was completely radical and revolutionary. Yeah.
And the style of the games as well, is this when the kind of more narrative style of games that we know now started coming in as well? Yeah,
yeah, absolutely. Things became more cinematic, they became more violent. There was conversations all across the media and all across pop culture about the way that these games were playing out. So yeah, games were more cinematic and more narrative. Games like Metal Gear Solid, Tomb Raider, there were stories, and Final Fantasy famously, there were much bigger stories, much more complicated stories, much bigger music. The processing power of the PlayStation and then into the PlayStation 2 was much more sophisticated, and what you could see on the screen was simply more exciting than the simple pixels of the Nintendo. So yeah, things were very different.
And you mentioned more violence there. Was there a kind of a shock horror in society about these games or, you know,
absolutely there was. Yeah, yeah, and there will be again. No matter what era of video games we're in, there will always be people clutching their pearls and wondering if the video games are rotting the minds of the youth or if they're making people more violent or if they're making people angrier. It's hard to tell. That seems to be the way culture has gone, but I would hesitate to ever pin anything on video games as a thing. But yes, the time, games, first-person shooters and things like that did cause a kind of a panic, a moral panic in society, which has not ended and probably will not end either.
Okay, you mentioned Tomb Raider there.
Yeah.
That Tomb Raider and Lara Croft in particular, the heroine of it, that became a huge cultural phenomenon, particularly,
didn't
it? She did,
yeah. She was a pin-up. She was a poster girl. Like, she was a very big deal. She was on the cover of Lad Mags. She was on the cover of Face Magazine. She was, nobody had ever
So she was kind of a sex symbol.
She was a sex symbol, absolutely. Okay. And like, as a girl growing up playing them, she was a girl. Most of the protagonists of video games for a long time were both, Super Mario's a plumber and a man, you know?
Yeah.
There was no girls you could play as. So even if she wasn't sexualized, she was still a girl that you could play as. She was a huge moment in culture was Lara Croft. And Tomb Raider developed such a huge, I wouldn't even say cult following, it was a huge moment in culture in general that it became the series of films. Angelina Jolie herself was Lara Croft for a long time.
Yeah.
So yeah, Lara broke out of the PlayStation and into the world very seriously.
And was that the beginning then of Hollywood looking at games and film tie-ins and film versions? Yeah.
There were adaptations slowly started to creep in around the Nintendo at first, with the ill-fated Bob Hoskins Super Mario movie with Dennis Hopper, which again, I'm very fond of it, but it's not a masterpiece, I think, you know. But yeah, the story of Lara Croft, this posh English archaeologist who loves toting guns and robbing tombs, absolutely, it took the world by storm. And Angelina Jolie, obviously being a huge sex symbol at the time, taking that role was a really big moment. And it's going, Lara is actually, she's on her way gradually back to our screens at the moment. Phoebe Waller-Bridge is currently working on another adaptation of Tomb Raider now many, many years after Lara's original appearance, you know. So
And presumably it'll be slightly different.
I'd say it'll be slightly different. Yeah. I'd be interested to see what she does with it, yeah.
So the way you're talking about this, it sounds as if PlayStation came in and completely changed the game and swept the board and everything. Did Sega and Nintendo manage to respond to this?
They did. There were tries across the board, really, in terms of how do you manage a success as sweeping and enormous as the PlayStation and then the ubiquity of the PlayStation 2. Sega simply didn't make it. They released a next generation console called the Dreamcast, which was incredibly expensive and didn't find its footing in the West, and it was the last console that Sega ever made. Now, they still develop games, they're still makers of culture. Sonic the Hedgehog had movies in the last couple of years, they're still around. But in terms of building home consoles, the PlayStation did them in. Now, what did happen was, in order to respond to the market that Sony had developed with the PlayStation, Microsoft took a look and said, hey, we could probably make a difference here. So they waded in. Nintendo, I think, were dancing to the beat of their own drum the whole time. The Switch is the best-selling console historically of all time. They're doing their own thing.
Okay.
But around the late 90s, early noughties, the Xbox entered the market, and what was referred to at the time in kind of the scant video game journalism and the magazines that existed at the time was the console wars. It was Xbox versus PlayStation. What kind of a household are you? What kind of a gamer are you? Whose side are you on? So on one hand, PlayStation did decimate a lot of the other market, but they also heralded in this other time of advances in technology and made space for Microsoft to come in and develop the Xbox and compete with them. Yeah, so they did change everything.
So where is PlayStation at now? Like, is it still regarded as a kind of a current cutting edge kind of thing, or is it more a nostalgia kind of thing now?
I think the nostalgia is part of it, but also how far we have come with games. We've sort of plateaued. Graphics, we all know what a 3D game looks like now, but when you think about the jump from the flat pixelated 2D worlds of the past into Tomb Raider and these first 3D spaces, that was a huge change. Whereas now, almost all the games that you play are 3D. It's very hard to put something on screen that will genuinely surprise players. So, yeah, the PlayStation 5 is around. It was released in 2020. They're very hard to get your hands on because the parts are hard to get. They're very, very expensive compared to how approachable in price the PlayStation 1 was. I believe in America it was sold for $299, which for a piece of technology at the time was very approachable. And Ireland, as a market, we play a lot of video games. At the time, we were second only to Japan in a non-American audience per capita. We played a lot of video games in the 90s, surprisingly.
Yeah.
So I think that PlayStation, Xbox and the Switch and all the other giants of gaming in some ways have plateaued. It's very hard now to really revolutionize the space. Because I don't know, are graphics as good as they're ever going to be? Are games as good as they're ever going to be? It's
There's
hard
to tell.
There's
a guy out there in a garage somewhere, Sarah, and he is going to come in and change the game
with
as well.
Dream,
There's
with
always
a
game changer. Sarah Maria Griffin, that was absolutely fascinating. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We'll take a break.